Hello, and welcome to Sentencing Practice Talk, a podcast for federal sentencing practitioners presented by the U.S. Sentencing Commission. In this episode, Lori Baker and Peter Madsen discuss an important issue the Commission is considering during the current amendment cycle. Specifically, Lori and Pete highlight the statutory provision which authorizes the termination of supervised release after an individual has served 1 year, and the guideline provision which encourages the court to exercise this authority in appropriate cases. Without further ado, here's Lori and Peter.
Hey, Pete, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Lori. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
Good, good.
So you and I have done a couple of podcasts together now, and we train together quite a bit. So I think many people know that you and I both came to the Sentencing Commission with background as U.S. probation officers. And most of the time when we're talking to people, we're talking with probation officers and practitioners about the calculation of those original sentencing guidelines, right? Coming up with that guideline range for the original sentencing. But there are two places in the guidelines where we talk about supervised release. We've got some of that in Chapter 5 and some of that in Chapter 7. So today we're going to pivot a little bit into the world of post-conviction, which is not a place where we typically train. I was never a post-conviction officer, but as a supervisor, I was fortunate enough to work with some really talented supervision officers who helped me to learn the ropes a bit of supervised release, post-conviction work. How about you, Pete? Did you do supervision work?
I did. I did a little bit of supervision when I was in the Northern District of Texas for a couple years, and also when I was in the District of Minnesota. But like yourself, the majority of my career was in the PSR world, so to speak.
So we do get some helpline questions about post-conviction matters, probation, supervised release. Tell me a little bit about what kind of questions we get or what guidance we might be able to give in this area.
That's a good question, Lori. I think we get a lot of questions about the imposition of supervised release, and maybe more commonly now we're getting some questions about early termination for those persons on supervised release.
So what do we mean by early termination?
We mean that a defendant has been placed on supervised release and, you know, because they've done well or because they meet certain requirements, the court has terminated their supervision early, successfully early.
So earlier than the term that was originally imposed. How does that come about? How does somebody get early terminated from supervised release?
That is a good question. So there is a statute under Title 18, United States Code 3583E1, that kind of spells out some of the factors that the court needs to consider, some of the 3553A factors, but more importantly, it specifies a time frame. It says at any time after the expiration of 1 year of supervised release. There's some other verbiage in there, and they also note that if it is satisfied that such action is warranted by the conduct of the defendant released and the interest of justice. So at the end of the day, they have to do at least a year of supervised release.
So from what I remember, much of the provisions that dictate supervised release come from statute, and this has always been in the statute, right? This provision that authorizes early termination. Is that something that you saw routinely in your work?
No, I'm glad you asked that question. In the roughly 12 years or so as a U.S. probation officer, I rarely saw the court grant an early release of termination. What I did see, maybe on a more frequent basis, were those persons under supervision actually filing their own motion with the court after a year to say, hey, I've done a year of supervised release, you know, let me off early. Those weren't always successful.
Right. So I would agree with you. I can't say that early termination was a frequent thing that I saw. I would say that my district was probably about in the middle of the pack with early termination. But what I did see was those offenders who were doing well on supervision, abiding by their conditions, they would get put on an administrative caseload, which had lower reporting requirements, you know, even in some ways, kind of an unsupervised supervised release at that point. So that I saw a lot. Early termination, I saw less. But this provision has always been there, and it's something that people can take advantage of. So when those individuals filed that motion on their own, what typically happened?
Almost immediately, the court then called the probation officer that was supervising that defendant and said, hey, I got this motion. What do you think? Oftentimes, we did not agree, but we would reach out to the government as well to say, hey, this person has put in a request for early termination. What's your take on it as well? So we did have that conversation with the government on a pretty regular basis.
Right, because the court's going to want to know, hey, I got this motion. How is this person doing on supervised release? So, of course, they're coming to the probation officer to get that report.
Exactly.
So even though we haven't historically seen early termination used very much, I guess we just want to remind people that this provision is there in the statute. You want to tell us a little bit more about early term consideration?
Sure. And you noted it's in the statute, but it's also in 5D1.2. We have an application note that we obviously start by saying, hey, the court has this authority to terminate early at 3583E1. But we also explain a little bit more, and we actually say the court is encouraged to exercise this authority in appropriate cases. For example, the court may wish to consider early termination as supervised release if the defendant is an abuser of narcotics or other controlled substances or even alcohol while on supervised release, successfully complete a treatment program, thereby reducing the risk to the public from further crimes of the defendant. So we at least address it in the application note at this point.
Does early termination require that somebody, you know, goes above and beyond and does something extraordinary or exceptional to be released early?
I'm glad you asked that question because there have some courts have weighed in and actually specifically say early termination does not require an exceptional, extraordinary, new, or even unforeseen circumstance. The court specifically needs to lay out those 3553A factors. And if they are going to deny the early termination, it's best to explain on the record why they actually denied the request for early termination.
So I think the commission is taking a look at supervised release right now. And I think one of the thoughts is that, there should be an individualized assessment into who receives various services. And those supervision efforts should be utilized with the people who need them the most. So in theory, people who have been doing well under supervision, doesn't have to be exceptional or extraordinary, right? They're following their conditions, they're doing what they need to do. Those people are less likely to really need those supervision resources.
You're absolutely right. And I just want to point out one other case too, because this is maybe a more common question that we get, where you have a defendant that received a mandatory minimum term of supervised release, especially under some of the drug statutes. And the question usually comes up, well, they've served 2 years of that 5-year mandatory minimum term of TSR. Can the court actually, you know, terminate them early? And a couple courts have weighed in and said that Section 841 of the drug statute does not impact the district court's ability under 3583E1 to later terminate an individual's supervised release after the individual has served at least 1 year. So that is something we at least come across maybe more frequently.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point because I think common sense would tell us, hey, they've got a mandatory term of supervised release. This isn't an option. And you're saying some courts have weighed in and said that that is not necessarily the case.
Exactly.
So tell me just a little bit about what the commission is looking at right now with supervised release.
So the most recent commission public hearing occurred on January 24th. At that point, the commission unanimously voted to publish a series of possible amendments to both Chapter 5 and Chapter 7 of the guidelines, including one that specifically addresses that early termination as supervised release. I encourage you to review the proposed amendment changes. You can give feedback to the commission. We actually have like a public comment portal that people can, you know, type in responses or submit letters or any kind of feedback that they want, and that portal is open until March 18th, 2025.
Great. Yeah, we definitely want to hear from the public on all of the matters that we have out there proposed right now. But just can you sum up for us, Pete, the bottom line message on early termination?
Right. There's 4 points I want to make. Number one, an individual must have served at least 1 year on supervised release before it's even possible for early termination. Two, like you had mentioned earlier, you do not need exceptional circumstances. If the court does in fact choose to deny early termination, they should explain that denial for the defendant or for the court. And then finally, the most recent court case we talked about, the courts can in fact consider termination even with a mandatory minimum term of supervised release.
Awesome. That's a great summary of what we really wanted to just cover today. So thank you for talking to me about early termination, Peter. Stay tuned for our next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sentencing Practice Talk. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify to stay up to date. Individuals can submit public comments on any of the proposed amendments at comment.ussc.gov. Comments relating to supervised release will be accepted through March 3, 2025, with a reply period closing on March 18th. Please be advised that the information provided by Commission staff is offered to assist in understanding and applying the sentencing guidelines. The information does not necessarily represent the official position of the Commission, should not be considered definitive, and is not binding upon the Commission, court, or the parties in any case. This episode was produced and published at taxpayer expense. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.